Well, how do you like the 25 centimeters we were supposed to get? One of these days, they're going to be right. All right? I phoned Rob Simerson the other day. Yesterday, 2 days ago, was his birthday. And so I phoned out to Airdrie, and he's in Toronto on a flight. But his wife was out there, and she said, yeah, he's in Toronto. I'm here shoveling. So she'll have it all done by the time he gets home there sometime today. Anyway, good morning to all of you. A couple of announcements. So don't forget, December 19th, we're handing out the Christmas cards to people in the church. And many of you will have your names on the board over there. And then the folks that are newer, we will have your Christmas cards down on the table below. Okay? So we're aiming for you to be able to hand out all your Christmas cards by the 19th. Just a reminder. If you're going to give a Christmas card to friends near and far, what are you going to do with those? You're going to mail them, okay? I'm not planning to travel around North America delivering them, okay? So you're going to mail the ones that you want to send to. Okay, so collect food and bring it in, and you can put it on the counter in there, and then we're going to be taking that to Elmvale and to Wasaga Food Banks, okay? Also, just a reminder, our Christmas Eve service will be at 7 o'clock. I don't think Bob's here today, but the fellows came in and they fixed the ceilings. It looks really, really fabulous, so we'll pass on our thanks to the team for that. And looks fantastic. We're also going to be having communion next week, so keep that in mind. And the updates for this week, regular week, Monday, prayer at 2 o'clock here at the church. And then Wednesday, 10 o'clock, ladies, I believe it's your last get-together here before the new year. Thursday, our study night here at 7. And Saturday here for prayer at 7 o'clock. Yes, marvelous. And we'll get an update from the principals this week probably too, won't we, Christina? Yeah, super. Kurt Nirmgard, we're glad to see you back from Germany. You made it just before they did the lockdown. Nice to have you back. And glad you had a good time. We missed you. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we want to thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives. Again, the reality of your power being displayed as we have lived each day. As we head into a new week, we know that you're going to be going before us. We know that you will guide and direct us and give us your peace today. Lord, may we just sense your presence in this place. Whatever burdens we have, we just lay them at the foot of the cross, and we just focus all of our attention now on the worship of you as our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless our worship team and every part of this service today, and we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Team.
Lord, we are just so thankful that you love us so much. Even though you go through that crucifixion, Lord, you thought of us and died on behalf of our sins. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. And we have some things for prayer and praise. Let's start with some praise notes. Who's got a note of praise this morning? What's the Lord been doing for you this week? Yes, Monica?
I declined because of my health, and my nephew was disappointed. But yesterday he called us and we had a lovely time.
Excellent.
And this is in response to the ladies on Wednesday praying for this.
That is super.
Yeah.
Absolutely super. How many of you would like prayer for family members to connect with you at Christmas? Is there anybody whose family is not somewhat dysfunctional? Anybody? Anybody? All right, we're going to pray for family connections. You know, I think it's fascinating. When we all grew up, you remember we had party lines? And everybody could hear our conversation. Now we've got every kind of means possible to communicate, and nobody wants to talk to us. Anyway, we're going to pray. We're going to pray this is amazing Christmas for all of you. Thank you, Monica. What other notes of praise do we have today? What else has the Lord been doing for Rebecca?
So their granddaughter, my niece, Monica, has not slept through the night. She's, what, 11 months old now? She's never slept through the night before. Until this week, she slept through the night twice. Three times? Did she sleep three times this week? So my brother and sister-in-law are very happy. So that's a good praise.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. She's a great aunt. Super. All right. Other notes of praise? Olivia, we want to praise the Lord for what you're doing and how things are going. Yeah. I remember the first week you came in. I don't even think you'd get your arm up. That's fantastic. We're happy for you, Olivia. We'll keep praying for you. Absolutely. Bless the Lord. All right. Anything else? Okay. Rhoda? Yes.
My nephew-in-law has lymphoma, and he's going through some tests on Monday, and he's not feeling very well, and they're praying that he'll be well enough to go for the test because they need to find out. He's having more problems than just the lymphoma.
What's his first name?
Lewis.
Lewis? Okay, we are going to pray for Lewis. And speaking of answers to prayer, Bob Rayford called me. He's back out of the hospital. He's had his heart surgery, and he's coming along. He's still sore. But he's like a boy that just had recess. You know what that feels like? You've waited so long and suddenly you get the surgery. So we just rejoice with Bob today at what God's done for him. Okay, we've got several folks. Allison couldn't be here today. She was hoping to be here. Her son is actually quite sick today. And she was also telling me there was a gentleman who was hit by a car in Stainer, crossing over where the Pizza Hut is. He wasn't crossing at the intersection. Many of you may know him. He's Frank the Barber. And so I've been going to him for years, and because he's the only one to give me a bald man special. He was on life support earlier this week, and Allison was just telling me last night he's been taken off life support. But we just need to pray for Allison's son and also for Frank. Also, you're going to find one of the fellows in the church, I don't know who it is, his mom has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and then Mike Croft, Linda's longtime friend, has suffered a severe stroke. You really do hang out with a lot of old people, don't you? I'm going to give you, I've got a little picture in my office. It shows two ladies sitting on a park bench, and the one says to the other, you know, I've been here so long, my friends are going to think I didn't make it. That's for you. That's for you too, Ted. That one's for you. But we will pray. We will pray for Heidi. And May, and of course Norm are down in Dominican. May's sister has passed away in Ireland. So that has been a tough time for them, and we ask for comfort for them. Suzanne, you wanted prayer for your friend having the ultrasound?
Yes.
Okay, we will pray for her. What's her first name?
Sue.
Sue? Okay, we will pray for Sue. And speaking of Sue, any update on your friend? We've been praying this week for both of you, going back and forth to the tests.
We didn't have to go back and
forth. Oh, good. Okay, we will pray for Christine. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sue, for that update. Okay, other things for prayer? Crystal? Okay, Crystal?
My sister needs prayer for eyelids. She keeps falling down, and she can't see very well. She prays her eyelids to stay up.
Okay.
And there's a muscle problem that she has. So it's a problem chewing and that. So
okay.
That's what I need prayer for.
Absolutely. Thanks, Crystal. We will pray for your sister today. Heather?
Yes, I need prayers for a friend of a friend. Her name is Mary Margaret. She's in hospital with COVID-19, and her lungs are really in bad shape. Her husband's there with her, so okay. He needs prayers of comfort, too.
But yep.
The word has gone out, and we're spreading it, that prayers for Mary Margaret
yep,
in recovery.
Yeah, absolutely, Heather. Keep us posted, please. Okay, we will pray. Anything else for prayer? Unspoken? All right, let's pray. Father, I just want to, again, thank you for the concerns we get to express together as a family. First of all, the notes of praise. Thank you for given this evening, such a great trip to Germany and home safely. Father, we pray for May and Norm that they will be home safely in a couple of weeks. And we just pray for May that you'll be of great comfort to her at this time. Thank you for what you've done for Monica with her nephew and the opportunities that have come there. And for her friend Heidi, that you will continue to be very near and bless her as she makes this move to Newmarket. And as Becca has mentioned, we just thank you for little Monica now starting to sleep through the night. And we just pray that this rest will bring great health and strength to her little body and also the whole family. We pray for Frank, who's in hospital, Lord, with these very serious situations of an accident. And we pray, Lord, for him and for Mike Croft and for the mother that's been diagnosed with brain cancer, or for breast cancer. And Lord, for all those that know of family members, we think of Heather's friend, Margaret Mary, for Sue's friend and for her sister awaiting surgery, for Crystal's sister. And for all those that come to our mind, Lord, we know that you hear and that we answer to prayer. We pray, too, for Lewis, Rhoda's nephew. Lord, we don't have to know who they are because you know them. And so we're just in simple obedience lifting these people up for prayer. And with thanksgiving, we just, again, want to tell you how much we appreciate you being our God. And so, Father, for these and all the unspoken requests of this day, we pray that your powerful Spirit will move across the face of this earth and touch people in very real and very rich ways. And so, Lord, we just thank you. And thank you for all you're doing in our church family. And for Bob Rayford and others that have come through these surgeries. And for all those that have worked so diligently in this church to make our week so special. For the ladies even that set up the Christmas decorations so that we could come into this place and just enjoy being together. Bless each and every person. Bless Don and Donna for their ministry in Tonga and the team this day for the children's ministry and every aspect of our church. We give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Tonga, would you come again, please?
Today.
We have a mother and son duo. And Rick is going to sing, and then his mother is going to share her testimony. So I want you to enjoy this and let the Lord do ministry in the midst of all. So Rick, would you come and would you sing for us this morning? Thank you.
It is honestly a blessing to be here this morning, and I thank you for having me. You're going to hear a great story from Mom, all true, and it's going to be challenging to hear. I'm glad I'm singing before she speaks because I don't know if I'd be able to after, even now. But I want you to know one thing. We've been speaking a lot about mercy and grace this morning. There was always mercy and grace in our house. And our house, no matter what we went through, and we went through a lot of stuff, there was love. I always remember there being joy and love in our home. And that was a lot due to our Savior, but just who my mom is. And she's just awesome and amazing. So I'm gonna sing a song for him. It's amazing. Thank you.
Is it okay? Can everyone hear me? Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let me begin by saying I do not remember too much of my childhood. What I do remember is that Mom was always sick. And I do remember going to the Baptist church on Sunday. I knew about God, but I did not know God. It was not until later in my life that I found out just how much he loved me. My dad was American, and my mom was born in Canada. So she came home to Canada to have all of her children, except the youngest one. I came back to Canada when I was 13, and we moved to Halifax. When I was 12 years old, my dad told me that all dads make love to their daughters, but no daughter ever told. So he sexually forced himself on me for almost 4 years. When I turned 16, I went to my sister, and I told her what Dad was doing, and my mother was in the hospital at the time. So she took me to the hospital to see Mom, and I told her what Dad was doing to me. Mom was understandably shocked. So what could she do? She took me out of school and home and sent me away to live with her elderly aunt in New Brunswick. My sister at that time was married and moved away as well. I stayed with my aunt only 3 months. I got a job, met friends, and then I hitchhiked to Quebec, where I found a job working for a French family. They had 7 little girls. Their mom was pregnant again, and I worked there until their mom had the first baby, or had the last baby. I learned a bit of French, and then I taught them a bit of English. I really liked it there, but then it was time to leave. From there, I went to Toronto to my sister's, and from there, we moved to Woodstock, Ontario, and stayed there until we received a letter from my mother that she was in a coma, about my mother, that she was in a coma in Halifax. I had to go back home. I was a lot older now. I was 17. When I went home, I had to stay at my dad's until I found my own place. I slept with a knife under my pillow, and I still did not know God. When I was 18, I met my first husband. He was in the army. And shortly after, we had our first son. And then 13 months later, I had my second son. If I was barefoot and pregnant, my husband was good to me. He was very controlling. He would watch me and set times for me to go out and for me to let him know when I came home. I did not know love, so I did not know how to love. Twice I tried to leave him and take the kids. I thought I could do it by myself, and I always went back. When I was 21, my mom was living back in the States, and she was scheduled for one of the first open-heart surgeries in Boston. My husband agreed I could go and see her before her surgery. When I arrived, her doctor postponed her operation for a week, so my younger brother and I could stay with her. Due to complications, the day after her surgery, my mom passed away. She was 44 years old. She died on my youngest brother's 16th birthday. I believe she had prayed to die, and I felt it was all my fault. So when I went back home, my husband was very physical with me, as I had not asked his permission to remain in Boston for that week. He did take me to Mom's funeral in New Brunswick. After this, I felt numb and constantly blamed myself for Mom's prayer to die. You see, Mom was a born-again Christian, and she prayed constantly for her children. And then God took her home. After my husband and I became very distant, we had begun divorce proceedings, and I left my husband and my children behind. He sent the kids away to live with his parents in Cape Breton. I gave him custody of the children. I was 22 now, with no home, no family, and still no God. After a year, I contacted my husband and asked him if there was a way we could get back together and become a family. He told me we could try, but we were to continue with the divorce. He said it would be easier and cheaper for us to get divorced than to get married again. When he brought the boys home, they were almost 3 and 4 years old. We lived together for a few months before our divorce was scheduled in the courts. My husband was at work that day, and he sent me to the courthouse with my lawyer to get the divorce. I gladly lied to the judge by saying that I did not know where my husband was and that I had the children living with me. I got my divorce on the grounds of physical cruelty plus custody of the kids and $100 a month support from the army. Well, this was worth the beating that I got when we came when he came home. As you can imagine, he was so upset. A short time later, I put the two boys on a train and we left for Toronto. Again, we went to my sister's place in Cheltenham. I applied for a job at Norton Electric in Brampton. I got called in for a medical, and the doctor told me I was 2.5 months pregnant. Oh my, what do I do now? What could I do? All I knew was that I did not want a girl because I did not want her to go through anything like what I went through. We sat out the winter at my sister's, and shortly after, my daughter was born, and she was beautiful. She still is so beautiful. I was scared and very protective of the thoughts of bringing up a girl. My children and I moved into a small apartment in Streetsville. Within months, I met a man who became my second husband. He was so good to us, and he told me that he would love him, and I would discipline them. Wow, how could this man fall in love with a woman with 3 children? We were married shortly after. By now, I was 24. Married twice and had 3 children. My husband was a long-distance truck driver. What I didn't realize is that my husband was on drugs while he was trying to stay awake on the road. I had thought my husband was bad, my first husband was bad, until I married my second husband. He was hooked. We moved 3 times during that winter. In the spring, we took my son out of kindergarten in May, and we all moved to a campsite in Terracotta for the summer. We had an 8x12-foot tent with a bale of hay underneath, and a rollaway cot and a chest of drawers. I had a Coleman stove and coolers. Outside, we had a picnic table where the stove sat. I had a clothesline to hang out the sleeping bags. And my daughter was sleeping in a playpen. My husband left me while he went away. He left me his car, although I did not have my license. I learned to drive. We lived there until school started in September. And when I left there, I left the tent and everything with it. The boys seemed to have a good time there. The only good time was when my husband was away on Monday to Friday and only home on the weekends. That September, we moved into a basement apartment that in order to get out of bed in the morning, we had to put on our boots, lots of water. Now that we were alone, my husband became more dangerous around the kids. Still on a lot of drugs, he became very annoyed with the kids. He became very violent and abusive with the children, even the baby. While he was away, I phoned the children's aid, hoping that they could help me get away. They told me this was my second marriage and I should try and work it out with him. But after 13 months, I left him. He was furious and became very physical with me. I had him charged with attempted murder, and he went to jail. We've never seen him since. I had no idea that God was with me all this time. When I left him, though, I was 5 months pregnant. I went to my doctor, and I told him I wanted to give this baby up for adoption. He agreed, as this would have been more than what I could handle at the time. He would make all the arrangements. When the baby was born, I had changed my mind. I wanted to keep him. 36 hours after the baby was born, they told me he died with complications. I had a cesarean birth, so I could not attend the burial. I didn't believe them then, and to this day, I still don't believe them. Not long after this, I met my third husband. He was the son of a United Church minister. His aunt was so impressed with him marrying someone with 3 children, she paid for the adoption of all my children. I remember going to the doctor to see if there was any way I could get rid of my flashbacks as I was having about my father. I told them I felt like committing suicide He told me the easiest way to do it. He sent me home with a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. During this time, my children wanted to go to Sunday school on the purple bus that drove through Brampton neighborhoods on Sunday. I knew from that book that I had to find a church that we could all go to. So the kids and I set out to find a United Church. The United Church we found was very charismatic, and we knew that this was home. Sitting in the pastor's office one day, he asked me if I knew Jesus Christ. I told him I knew of him, but I didn't know him. After a long discussion, I accepted Jesus in my heart, and I allowed him to rule my life. During my prayers, I said to God, "The children only came through me, but not from me. They are yours. Please guide them." I knew I could not. We were offered a position at that time of caretaker at the church building, and we lived in the manse next door. It was here I learned about Jesus. For 3 years, it was Jesus 24/7. I was in the choir, taught the youth group, then Sunday school. Everything was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. After 3 years, the enemy was allowed to penetrate the church. The Holy Spirit was not welcomed there anymore. The congregation turned against the pastor. Then the governing body of the United Church let our pastor go. This was devastating to me. I felt abandoned again and truly unworthy. When you feel unworthy, this is the most horrible feeling in the world. It was soon after this, my marriage fell apart and we were divorced. The enemy got his way again. I turned my back on God and I wandered away from him again. I felt at this time I really was not worthy to belong to the family of God. I was lonely again with my three kids, and we wandered through life a day at a time. I had no idea that God was with us all along. I now know that God had picked my next husband for me. Roy was separated from his wife after 20 years of marriage, but they had four beautiful children, and I loved the way he treated them. That was my biggest attraction to him. I knew my children would be safe with him. So I drew lots to see if God really wanted me to marry him. It always came out yes. I wrestled with God for 5 years as I did not want to ever get married again. Finally, I gave in. I could see that Roy needed God as much as I did. We married in a small church where he and his daughter and my foster daughter got baptized. When we got married, my daughter was my maid of honor, and my two sons walked me down the aisle. We were driving home on a Friday evening. Oh, I'm sorry. The first 10 years were very rocky. We were weekend alcoholics. We were driving home on a Friday evening when I lost control of the car and ended up in a ditch. Roy almost went through the front window. There was glass all through his head. This frightened me terribly. The days and weeks from then on were like a blur. When we stopped drinking, we bought our first home. By this time, I had a real hate on for men. I really didn't like them. I was invited to join the Rotary Club of Brampton South. I hesitated, but I stayed there for 10 years. These men were wonderful to me, just like brothers. Thanks be to God, my fears and my hatred for men left me. I would never be alone for anything again. Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overcome you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." I finally went back to the same church where I first met Jesus. I found the Holy Spirit was not present. It wasn't the same love that we had when I went there. My son John came home from Calgary for a visit. He said, "Mom, I want to take you to Harvest Bible Chapel here in Brampton." I went with him, and I never looked back. It was just what I needed. That's where I rebuilt my love and my life for Jesus. And I tell you, he has never left me for a minute. He healed my mind and took away every bit of fear. He showed me forgiveness like I have never had. Again, I became very involved, volunteering in their office 2 or 3 times a week. I loved it there. When we retired, we moved to the beach, and Jesus led us to Wasega Christian Church, where God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is being glorified. God was not finished with me yet. Early in 2019, I had a perforated bowel from diverticulitis, and I was the closest to death as I ever want to be. I had 2 pulmonary embolisms along with being septic. I carried an ileostomy bag for 9 months. I had 7 trips by ambulance that year. After my ostomy reversal, I got abscesses where the scars were open and would not heal. I had home nurses every day for 2 years until my infectious disease specialist ordered a CT scan. They found that I had acute appendicitis and needed to be operated on immediately, and I didn't have any symptoms at all. They found a fistula there, and that was causing my not being able to heal. This in itself was an amazing miracle. It wasn't until this past July of 2021 that the home nurses stopped coming in, and I was perfectly healed. Throughout this whole time, Roy was with me, bathing me, and feeding me. I could not have asked for a better man to take care of me all through these trials. James said it all, consider it pure joy. When my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. Now I know that I can face anything without fear. I hope and pray that this testimony will be very effective to many people that have gone through similar events in their life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." Let me close by Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run this perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Just one more thing I would like to say. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I thank God that my siblings and I have broken the chains of abuse that were in my father's family. That can only be done in God's power. I also thank God for my children who are all following Christ and attending a Bible teaching church. Thank you and God bless.
Girl.
know, family, there's nothing like a testimony. Because how do you dispute the facts? And, you know, I am so grateful to the Lord that this young lady was prepared to come and share and really be vulnerable before all of us today. But more than that, I think one of the greatest things that she wants is for all of us to feel that we are all equal before the throne. We all have access. And I don't know what you've been struggling with, but I think what we've heard today, within the whole scope of what can literally happen to us, we can all come through and the Lord can touch us in amazing ways. And so I just want to take a moment and you just think about your own life. And where do you have unresolved things? Have you gone back and forth with the Lord? Have people hurt you? Do you hate people? At the end of the day, who's the only one who's going to take it away for us? Will be the Lord himself. He's the only one who's going to give us healing. And so I just wonder if we could just take a minute and pray. And I don't know, but I think Sheila should pray for all of us. What do you think? Do you think she should? I think she should. Thank you, Tonga.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you. I thank you for all these people that have come today, and I pray that your word will just sink deep into their hearts. And Lord, whoever watches this on YouTube, I just pray, Lord, that you will be with them. You would reveal yourself to them. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to get some things organized and cleared up with you, that right now, as Donna is playing, that they would come to you and say, Jesus, my life's a mess. I've got stuff I've carried for years. I've got stuff in the closet. I've got anger issues. I've got unresolved things, even with people who have died. And Lord, may they be set free this day. So take this moment right now, as Sheila has prayed, and now as we continue in prayer, and just say, Jesus, I give you this crap. I give you all this stuff that's been in my life. Much of it was not my fault. Much of it is not what I had any control over, but I give it to you. Would you cleanse me now? Would you take the stuff that's deeply rooted in my heart and my brain and just remove it? I don't want any more flashbacks, Lord. I don't want anything else to bother me. I want to move forward with a powerful sense of your presence every day. I want what Sheila's got. And so, Lord, may that be each person's opportunity today, because you're the one who's the great healer of body, of mind, and of soul. So we just thank you now. In your powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Experienced heaven today. You have allowed one of your saints to share the deepest things of her heart, but most of all, what she has shared is that you have set her free. Yes. And Lord, that is what all of us need. This life is not easy. People hurt us. Events happen. Accidents occur. Babies die. Hospitalizations occur. And yet, even as Sheila has mentioned, even these last 3 years, you have been moving powerfully in her life, and she bears testimony to your faithfulness today. Lord, as all of us leave this place, may we leave with a sense of your great faithfulness in all of our lives. And the great news is you're not done working with any of us. The best is yet to come. And so, Father, as we head out this week, into this week that you've designed and created for us, remind us that we're your ambassadors. Remind us that you go before us. Remind us you walk beside us. Remind us you live within us. Remind us you're our rear guard. Remind us that you are God and we're your son or daughter. And in that, we hold our head up. Our chains are gone. There's no more shame. We serve a powerful God. And we ask you to bless us all in that powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Have a great week. And family, if you want to talk to Sheila, I'm sure she would love to chat with you this week. Thank you for coming.